I didn't understand why I am here in America, because I had such a blessed life in Romania. And I suffered at the beginning. At the beginning, when after we arrived, after 1 week only, we had a tour in America for 6 weeks. And every time when I went in a church, I start to cry, because I saw my people. But after a short time, the Lord was very good to me, and in His mercy showed me right away what I can do here too. And I said, this world is my Father's world. Everywhere I am at home, and He has something in store for me too here. And we arrived here in 1981, and in 1982 I attended with Joseph to a Bible Congress in San Diego. It was such a beautiful place, and we met so many beautiful people, Christians, strong people. I didn't have words enough to say thank you, Lord. But I said, I am so unworthy to be here. Why you brought me here? And in the hotel, I went on my knees and I opened the Bible. And this was the Bible verse which I received. I shall make mention of the loving kindnesses of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which He has granted them according to His compassion and according to the multitude of His loving kindnesses. I knew. Immediately after this, I met Kay Arthur, Evelyn Christensen, and a few other people. And they start to ask me and put questions, one after another. And I start to tell my story, my experiences. And I realized that there was some kind of, I helped them with that. And I was so happy. And I said, oh Lord, help me to be a help. By the way, this Bible verse was my motto, my life motto. I will make him a helper suitable for him. This was my motto in my life. And that was my prayer always, because I wanted very much to be the right help for which God made me. Now, I start to share with you a few of our experiences, my experiences along with Joseph's. I am very happy to be here. I consider it a grace and a privilege to be here. When we arrived here yesterday, we felt that we are on the holy ground, not because of us, me and Joseph, because of you, because of other people who were before us here. I don't know if you sense in the air something very special which makes you to be aware that God is watching you. And God now took you and put you here for something very special. We went on our knees and we said, thank you, Lord, for this place. So, always when I have the opportunity, the privilege to tell about our experiences, which are not ours, it's the Lord, what the Lord did for us. I consider an honor and a privilege. I am one of those rare Christian women who lived most of her life under communism behind the Iron Curtain, and who was given the chance to come to the West and tell the story. Our story is a story of hardship and difficulties, but it is also a story of deep experiences with the Lord and great blessings and victories. Or maybe I could say that it is because of the hardship and difficulties that we got the blessing and the victories. I hope I shall be able to illustrate that this clear connection between hardship and blessing. First, I want to tell you a little bit about life of common woman in a communist country. I shall start by saying that we have the Equal Rights Amendment, which, I tell you, this is not a blessing. The communists boasted from the beginning that they bring equality. Well, equality means practically that every woman works as a man do on building sites, heavy machinery, or sweeping the streets. And they also have to do military services. In every university, a day per week is set aside for the girls to go and get military training. The communist system has been in place for over 40 years, and everybody can see that economically it has been a disaster. Food is rationed in Romania and Poland, in Soviet Union countries, which used to be considered the granaries of Europe. In Romania, a person gets a half a kilogram of meat per month, 2 pounds of wheat flour, 2 pounds of sugar, 1 pound of cooking oil, 1/2 pound of butter, and 7 eggs. This is for a whole month. Well, what is the life of a woman in a situation like that? The working hours are from 7 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon. A woman has to get up, of course, much earlier to prepare everything for everybody, and they hurry up to get somehow into that bus where people are squeezed like sardines and go to the work. When the 8 hours of work are over, her next duty is to go from shop to shop to see if she can get some extra food for her family. Sometimes she will stay long hours in line to get that ration, meat, butter, sugar. When she comes home, tired as she is, she can do all the other jobs a woman do. I don't tell you everything. Now, life of every woman is difficult in the communist world. But if that woman is a Christian, life gets more complicated and more difficult. The greatest persecution in communist country is discrimination in job. There are no private businesses in a communist country. There is only one employer, the state. And the state is atheist, and they will not give a Christian any good job. There are no Christians in any position of leadership, no Christians in the judiciary, in the police, in the higher administration. A Christian will always be kept at the lowest position for his or for her qualification. There will be no promotion and no bonus or any other fringe benefit. I was an accountant in university. I worked in the lowest position of accountant for 20 years. I was an expert in university finances. My boss would have me make the balance of the whole university at the end of every month, and he would always rely on me for the most delicate operations. But whenever a position for promotion was open, he would apologize to me and intimate me that I should take that position, and of course, because I was a Baptist, he couldn't dare create troubles for himself promoting me. Then every quarter, the best workers got a bonus. But many times, the boss would tell me that he put me on the list, but the Communist Party officials cut my name off. A Baptist was not fit for any benefits that had to go to a Communist Party member. Of course, if somebody is converted while holding a higher office, that person would be immediately demoted or even fired from their job. So, to be a Christian in that society is very costly. But that situation has a very important side effect. And that is, you really have to think it over very well and decide why you are a Christian and why you go to church. There is a deep seriousness of consideration. You have to see exactly who Christ is, what he gives you, what he means to you. Of course, Jesus Christ is very rich, but many people miss his riches because they do not really seek him. And in a situation where you are forced to carefully consider him, you are, but very fact, forced to get closer to him, and you become rich in the process. That means that people do not go to church casually. You go there only if you really mean it, if you are really committed. I want to say something here about our children. All the schools are state schools, of course. And right at the beginning, and right from the first grade, they start to get atheist education. And the Christian children become a special target for the teachers, whose job is to convince them that there is no God and they should not go to church with their parents. I must say that at the beginning of the communist rule, parents were no prepared for this attack. And in the 50s and 60s, we lost many of our children to the world. It was only by the 70s that we learned new ways of instructing and educating our children to counteract the attack on their minds in the school. Our churches in Romania are again full of young people and of children as a result. I must add here that we do not have in Romania the law which they have in the Soviet Union, where it is forbidden for young ones under 18 to go into a church. We used to have only an interdiction to have Sunday school with the children, but in the last 7 years, that interdiction was disregarded by our churches, and many have now a powerful work with the children. A mother and a father have to be always prepared to answer the questions of their children. They hear so much anti-religious propaganda in the school. In the evening at home, the parents have to give them the answers to that. They have to help their children with the truth, both with truth in different branches of science and in the Word of God. It is not easy to be a mother in a communist country if you want to raise your children for the Lord. In the 60s, my husband was a school teacher. For many years, he didn't go to church. Then, in January 1968, he had a new encounter with the risen Lord. He experienced a new conversion, a new forgiveness, a new life. He told me shortly after that, "One day I took my life into my own hands and I broke it in pieces. Now the Lord stooped down, took those pieces and put them back together. Now I shall never make that mistake again. This life is not safe in my own hands. It is safe only in his hands and something more. What Jesus saved, he has to own. What he paid with his own blood, he has to possess. So, you should know that I do not belong to myself anymore. I am sold out to him. That means that I shall go wherever he wants me to go, and I shall do whatever he tells me to do." It was a deep moment of recommitment, and I decided to follow him wherever the Lord leads. Of course, one of the first things the Lord told him to do was to join the church. When he approached the leadership of the church for this, the first question the chairman of the deacons asked him was, "Are you aware that if you join the church, you lose your job And what a good job you have, Brother Joseph. My husband answered, I know that I might lose my job, but Christ died for me, and he even had mercy on a person like me and rescued my life. Can I compare what he did for me with what I might lose for him? With that answer, he was accepted as a member in the church, and very soon he was asked to preach, and he did. We were waiting then with some anxiety the day when he would be fired from his job. But the Lord had something else in store for us. Due to my husband's preaching, some new contacts were made, and eventually he got a permit for a visit to Austria. This open door was totally unexpected, because it is almost impossible for people in the communist bloc to travel abroad. It was at the time that Joseph received the Lord's guidance that this open door was for him to go to England and to study theology in a seminary there. When he told me about it, I was overwhelmed. I immediately saw all the risks involved. What my husband meant was that, instead of coming back from Austria in a month's time, he would go to England and stay there at least 3 years with no possibility to visit me in that time or for me to visit him. More than that, he would be considered a runaway and maybe never allowed to return. And I would be considered the wife of a defector. How could I stand all those risks? But our challenge was this. We said that we did not belong to ourselves anymore, didn't we? And we said that we would go wherever he commands and we would do whatever he says, didn't we? We realized there was no way out or no way back from our commitment. We said yes to the Lord, and Joseph left for Austria on January 1st, 1969. In a string of miracles, the Lord opened him the doors, and in a short time, Joseph was student of theology in Oxford University, and I was the wife of a runaway. That separation lasted 3 years, 6 months, and 21 days. Time does not permit me to describe to all that time. I only want to tell you a promise of the Lord. It is written in Mark 10:29-30. Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sister or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he shall receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. What the Lord says here is that whenever he asks you to give him something which is very precious to you, he will not let you empty-handed. He will give you something which will be 100 times more precious. Now, my husband was willing to lose his job as a teacher for the Lord. The Lord gave him the chance to study in Oxford University in exchange. This is something worth at least 100 times more than teaching position he gave away. I was willing to let my husband go. What did I get in exchange? Well, the Lord also promised persecutions, and I got some of them. But I got my 100-fold promise too. And let me tell you what that was. Before Joseph went away, I sort of lived under his shadow. Now that he was gone, I had to face everything alone. I came to see that the church needed my services for women's work, for visitation to the sick people, and the most healing of all, the work with university students. This was an underground work and risky one. 20 to 30 university students would come regularly to my little apartment for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. I wasn't only their host. I also became counselor the spiritual guide to many of them. What happened in the process was the fact that I grew up into a mature Christian worker in my own right. And this was my 100-fold reward for having my husband away for that long period of time. In 1972, Joseph came back from England. He was the only one in generation to be able to go out of the country to study theology and come back home. The Christians were looking to him with great expectancy. The authorities were watching him closely. Joseph explained to me some of the issues he was facing. He also explained to me what he called his theology of lamb. He quoted Luke 10:3, where the Lord says, "I send you as lambs in the midst of wolves," and explained to me that God sent his own son as a lamb to be killed on our behalf, and now he sends us in the same way. It is God's strategy to send his children as lambs to the wolves. The lambs accept to show God's love, demonstrate it. And this is how at least some of the wolves become lambs. Joseph knew that he might face harsh encounters with the wolves, and he wanted to prepare me for them. He wanted me to pray and say to the Lord, "Lord, I give you my husband. If you want him in prison, I give him to you for imprisonment." At the beginning, that was a prayer too hard for me. I struggled with it for a whole year. Joseph was writing papers describing different aspects of the persecution of the Christians and demanding more rights for our churches. I was with him in all that work, typing his papers in tens of carbon copies for a wider distribution. The threat of the fury of the authorities was greater and greater. Then it happened. On Friday morning at 6 on October 4, 1974, seven policemen came at our door. They had a mandate to search our house. They came in and turned the house upside down. They were in the house for 8 hours. They confiscated all our personal papers and notes and letters. They took away all our library. They gave us to understand that the worst was to come. That worst was that my husband was charged with propaganda which endangered the security of the state, was placed under house arrest and had to go to police for interrogation almost every day for 6 months. Now the first 2 nights after the house search, I couldn't sleep. The trauma was unbearable. The thought of what might follow was overwhelming. After the second sleepless night, early in the morning, I woke Joseph up. We went in the kitchen. We made a cup of coffee. And I asked Joseph to explain to me again the teaching about the lamb. Again, he told me how important it was that some people understand that they might be killed, called to literally die for the Lord, and how important it was to accept it as a service to the Lord. At that moment, everything was ready in me. We went on our knees, and there and then I said, "Lord, Joseph is yours, and I give him to you. If you want him in prison, I release him to you for that. And whatever else you want to do with him or with me, here we are. Take us and use us as you want." I want to tell you that after that prayer, I never had another sleepless night. But then, one of those days, I did something else, the most difficult thing for a mother to do. You see, after 14 years of marriage, the Lord blessed us with a child, the most wanted child. Our dear little Dorothy was about 16 months at the time. And it dawned to me that as I typed Joseph's papers, I became a part of his doings, and now I could face imprisonment myself. And what would happen to Dorothy? Another agony started. But now, I knew the secret. I went on my knees this time alone, and I prayed, Lord, Dorothy is yours too, and I give you my Dorothy. You will take care of her. And here is me now, ready to go wherever you want me to go. After I prayed that prayer, a deep peace came into my heart. More than that, I felt a strange detachment from this material world. I went into the living room and I saw Joseph looking through the window to the trees in the garden and meditating. I went close to him. I looked to those beautiful trees myself, and the thought came to me that I love nature so much, and I could not stand the thought that one day I would not see it anymore. But now it was different. This world of nature and of matter was like non-existent. All of a sudden I looked to Joseph and I said to him, you know, if I touch your hand now, it seems to me that I would touch your spirit, your soul. It was only spiritual reality that remained real to me. And what a real reality this spiritual world is when you are totally given to God, who is spirit. Now, we went through long periods of interrogation. I had my share in them. But the courage the Lord gave me was amazing. One thing I discovered was this. The Lord gives you that special power only when you need it. Before you really need it, you may feel weak and fragile and uncertain. But if you give everything to the Lord, be sure He will give you that power right when you need it. And it will surprise you how strong you prove to be. You see, it is not your strength. It is God's strength. And He will release it to you exactly when you need it. But I already mentioned the condition. And that is if you give everything to the Lord. I had an illustration of this a few years later. In 1977, Joseph wrote a new paper. This time, the school authorities were making plans how to stop Christians' children to go to higher education. Joseph and five of his friends got all the information and told the whole world about that plan. They were arrested and charged with treason. They beat them and threatened to shoot them. After a whole day of interrogation, maybe 10 or 12 hours of it, they would let them home for the night. At the beginning of the sixth week of this interrogation, Joseph came home one evening and told me that his interrogator got very angry on him. Joseph refused to answer his questions, and the interrogator told him that the following day he will be crushed. Joseph took it very seriously, and that evening we prepared ourselves for the end. There was so much peace in me when I heard him say in his prayer that he was ready to die and that he only wanted to be washed again in the blood so that he could offer the Lord a clean sacrifice. To make a long story short, the following day there was no crushing. It was the announcement that the charge was dropped and Joseph was free. As we were talking together after that, and Joseph was trying to get the spiritual lesson of those days, I said this to him. The lesson is this. The Lord is fighting a battle in us until we give up everything to Him. When we gave up everything, and when the Lord has His way completely in us, the threats on the outside are over. The battle is over. There is only a victory to be enjoyed. This is because the battle on the outside was meant only to bring us to that point when we give everything to the Lord. I want to add here that Joseph got real power in his preaching only after these experiences. God gives his power only there where he is in control, where he decides what to be done with that power. As I look back on those years, I may add two important secrets for the victories the Lord gave us. The first secret was that Joseph and myself share everything. Early in the morning, we would sit down quietly with a cup of coffee in front of us, and Joseph would tell me the issues, like the need for a new paper or some other risky action, and I would question him until I understood from the Word of God that that was the position we had to take or the action to start. Then we would pray together, and that prayer was a blending together and a source of power and of peace. Whatever action Joseph started was also my action, because I understood it and I prayed with him about it, and I knew it was the will of the Lord for us. My second secret was the fact that right when Joseph was preparing himself for Christian ministry, I prayed, "Lord, make me a helper suitable for him." I saw my supporting role and I accepted that position. And in those years of Bethlehem, my support, my encouragement, my faith in what he was doing was vital to him. I never complained that he brought hardship on us. I encouraged him to go on and conquer. I also realized that I had to be a watchman for him. There were times when he was scared or tired of the battle, when he thought of a way out, maybe by a compromise. At such times, I was there to keep him upright, to keep him going. Usually, at such times, I used to share the problem with an old man whom Joseph would trust, and I would ask that man to come and speak to Joseph and strengthen him. My husband makes this testimony that I saved him from big blunders at least 2 times with such understanding of his weak moments and with such interventions. In conclusion, looking back on my life as a Christian woman in a communist country, I can say that the hardship, the persecution, the dangers we faced there only brought us closer to God. And the Lord kept his promise to guard us, to keep us, and to match the promise, the problems, with a 100-fold measure of blessings. We came to see in our own experience that God is reliable. So, our knowledge of God and our trust in God has grown there. Now, my statement is that the difficulties brought us closer to God, and that persecution helped us to know God in a more intimate way and to trust God absolutely. But it is a general rule, not necessarily. Generally, when difficulties come, there is a sharp division in the way people react to them. Some complain and protest and revolt and go away. Others face them with courage and with the joy of knowing that whatever comes is a ministry of the Lord to their lives. It is the same in time of persecution. Some leave the church immediately and do all they can to disassociate with religion in order to avoid suffering. Others accept it as a part of being a Christian. They understand that Jesus called us to carry a cross and to suffer with him. They are the ones who conquer, who understand that suffering is a function and the ministry the Lord might give them, and they accept to enter with Christ into his sufferings and that way into his victory and glory. I want to add that when we came here to a free country and to a situation of affluence, I was able to see the same division. Some people get lost because of the freedom and the riches of the world, or at least they become worldly and unuseful for the kingdom of God. But some others just take these riches as things entrusted to them by God for administration, and it is wonderful to see how they use them for the kingdom of God. So, suffering or affluence in themselves are neither good or bad. A Christian can be ruined by either of them, and a Christian can become a miracle in either of them. Just look where the Lord has placed you and what He expects you to do in that particular situation. You will be judged and evaluated in the end by the faithfulness you demonstrated in persecution or in freedom, in suffering or in affluence. Now, this was my life in Romania. I already had behind me 5 years here in America. And how I said at the beginning, the Lord showed me immediately what is my duty here. First of all, I saw my duty is my family. Why I saw? The Lord opened my eyes to emphasize my life and my duty in my house, in my home, because the ministry which Joseph is doing for Romania. Also, I work with him in our mission. I realized that it's not easy to be always on the way. It's not easy to travel all the time. It's not easy to pack and unpack all the time. We are happy that in at least one thing we will not do in the heaven. We will not pack and unpack anymore. But what I realized here, I have to be always the right help to keep him happy, joyful, in peace, in good health, and in joy, in his joy and his dreams and his work, and be a part, because his harvest is my harvest too. When he comes home, we have a long discussion, a long sharing about what he had. Besides that, every evening we talk on the phone and he tells me everything what he had over the day. He shares with me everything, every joy, every work what he did. So many times I know the hours when he is preaching. Then I'm in prayer in that time. I learned to be that way in Romania. In Romania, I used to be in the church with 1 year listening to him, because I wanted very much to feel, to hear every word of him. And with 1 year up to the Lord, praying, my heart was divided. But it's possible. If you want to try it, it's possible. Because it's something very unusual, but it's possible. Because all the time you are like connected very much with the heaven, but you hear his voice and the message. You receive the message and you can feel the strength, the power of the Holy Spirit. That was very important for us all the time. I watched him, and I was, because of that, I traveled everywhere with him in Romania. Here, I don't. Just very rare. When we came here, we arrived at the airport. He was taking my hand and he said, I couldn't, but I saw him and I watched. Is that true? He doesn't show me that that side too many times. And he said, oh, it's so good that you come with me. I am not alone. Yes, it's such a blessing for me too, to be together. It's a blessing. And I take it a blessing and a privilege. I was cut off from all my work in Romania. And here I had to stay home. But I knew that God has something else for me to do. He wanted me to stay home, but I knew we are one in the Holy Spirit. And doesn't matter where I am, I can be the same person and I can feel the same job what I did in Romania for him here too. But I think I will share with you another experience, because like every other family, we have sometimes some arguings and we don't like it. We never go to sleep letting an argue to come over and to not finish and to not end that and come together in the prayer. We were preparing ourselves to go in a mission conference for 2 days. And I was talking on the phone. That was 10 o'clock in the evening, and I was talking for a very important issue, but Joseph didn't know to whom I talked and what was the problem. And he asked me to quit as soon as possible, because it's 10 o'clock, we have to get up 4 o'clock in the morning, and it must to go to bed because I get too tired then, and we have to drive. And I asked him just by making signs to him that let me to finish, and I can't cut off the man, because he was a little bit long with the story, but I had to listen him. And so I was a little bit disturbed because of that. And I said at the end, why? You let me, just to let that man, but why? He didn't understand why I couldn't make it shorter. Well, maybe it was my fault, maybe not. But I was disturbed and he was disturbed. I prayed, Lord, let him see his fault, not me. That was his fault, because I had to be to listen that man to the end, and I had to give some answer, and it was a very important problem. But the issue wasn't that for us. And at that point was the issue for two of us. I was disturbed and he was disturbed. And who will do the first step for reconciliation? I said, not me, Lord. He is the guilty. And I said, well, he prayed alone, I prayed alone. In the morning we got up, we went on our trip. Usually in our trip we are very happy. We enjoy the trip, talking, telling, speaking, talking about our work and what we accomplished until then. So our trip always, our journey always so much blessed by God, and we are so happy. We feel that we are at home because we are together. And that little car is our home because God is there with us and we are together. That time was different. He was very quiet. I was quiet. I couldn't speak too much. He couldn't. I knew if I do just a little gesture that could make to be the end of everything. But I didn't want it. I said, I am not guilty. It's not my fault. If I do it again, when the Lord, when he will be able to see that he, now is his turn to come and ask forgiveness. I want to just add here that if something like that happened any time, I didn't like to stay even a half an hour, not minutes. And I went on my knees, I said, Lord, show me where is my fault, and then I am able to say, forgive me. But that time I couldn't see my fault. And so I couldn't say, forgive me, or sorry. I didn't have for anything. So we went. That was the first day when we arrived there, the camp. He had a speech in the morning. I was praying, Lord, have mercy of him. And mercy of me too. But this is the situation. Tell him what is his duty to do. Well, I was struggling. He didn't move. He didn't do any step. I didn't. We were talking. We were speaking. We had, but something was between us. Was anger? Wasn't anger? Wasn't anything like that. But wasn't the normal relationship. And in the evening, when I prayed, I said, Lord, how could I know? What can I do? Now I was fed up with that quiet time, and I was enough. And I went to my bed. I said, Lord, show me. And all of a sudden in this kitchen, I will make you to be the right health, a suitable health. Have you been the right health? Oh no, Lord, I wasn't. I didn't look to your word at that time. I didn't see that. All of a sudden I saw what I wanted, what I expected was to see him, to come, humiliate himself. Okay, I have the grace to forgive you. I am the good one, and through you the bad. And all of a sudden I realized how bad I was, how bad eyes I had. I didn't look what God told me, what God made me for. I didn't see that. I was blind. But all of a sudden, I realized he is my husband. He is my head. Jesus is his head. I have to be in such a way always that I have to be able to look up to him. So I was made to be the right help. I wasn't. And everything was clear in my mind. That was in the morning. I slept after I had all the picture in my mind. I slept. He was sleeping. And when I woke up, I told him, Joseph, God showed me where was my fault. I was blind. And see what he showed me, who I am and what he made me for. And I failed to be. And please forgive me. after I told him this, if you want me, or maybe somebody's interested, what was his reaction? His reaction was that, well, Elizabeth, I had to do first. I should have done first this, what you wanted to, so you say to me now. So, you know what? I realized always, and because of that, I was always very much aware with whom side I stay, with God or with Satan. If I please God, I displease to Satan. But if I turn back, my back to God, Satan will love me. And that depends on me, on my attitude, which I take. So, this is one thing which the Lord showed me, and I suppose, I don't know if the Lord, when he wants me to see more deeper in this world, to be a help. Because I saw to be a help what that means. But I didn't see that far until that point. That doesn't matter who has the right, I or him or he. Doesn't matter. All what matters is what I do before God. If I obey to his order or not, to his command or not. I was made to be a help. If I do, I live my life to be the one to whom I was made for, or not. So, I am very, very much aware since then. And if I have the possibility to share this with friends of mine or other women, I do it. Because I know there is a problem. There are problems in our marriages, in relationship. And we have to know how to handle them. And which is the God's way. And we have to choose his way, not our way. We have to please him. Because when we go up, he will ask us, what did you do? And I will answer toward him what I did here, how I obeyed to his word. So, I see my role. Because of this, I was so much overwhelmed that God showed me that in that time, because I saw for all my life that problem solved. I don't know, I said that, I know, I maybe God will show me other steps further from this one. But as much far as I see now, I feel that I can see very much deep in that word how to be the right help for my husband, to keep him always in the right position toward God, to have a good spiritual situation, and always when he leaves or when he comes or when we speak on the phone, when we talk on the phone, to encourage him and to be with him. Let him feel that you are a part of his life. Because we are indeed. I wish you to be the real help, what God meant to each of us to be. If somebody wants to put questions, to have questions, we still have time, I think. Yes, we still have half an hour. If somebody has questions. Dorothy was 8 years old when we came in the United States. She started with the third grade. She had a pretty harsh adjustment time here. But God blessed her, her mind, and she was very good. By her attitude, by her mind, by her knowledge, she got her position on her right, and she has friends in the school. She does a very good job in the school. We are very, very much blessed with her, and we are very happy. Mainly, she is a very mature Christian. She's a very mature Christian. She said in the first year she had a colleague who always pushed her. If she was somewhere in a line or in the class, she always tried to make her life miserable in the school. And for a long time, Dorothy every day was coming home crying. They said, Dora, we call her Dora. I said, Dora, your love now is challenged. If your love is from God, is genuine, you will love this girl. You will continue. You will love her more because, poor girl, she is an unhappy girl. She must have some problems if she does that with you. And we were with Joseph in a Sunday afternoon when he preached about the stone cutters in Cory. When we were going home, Dorothy asked Joseph, Daddy, that means that Valerie is my stone cutter. It wasn't easy for us. The tears were coming out right away. But we said, Lord, you choose her too, to teach her to the harsh way what means to love, what means to be a Christian. He was very much loved in Romania because she was a Christian. She was here loved because she was a foreign. But now, praise the Lord, that time is far away now, and she's happy. For what we are very happy, we are committed to go back. And a sign for us that this is will be so, our heart is, of two of us, is in Romania. She is happy any time to go back. When we had to come in America, she started to cry. And I said, Dora, aren't you happy you go and see America? No. I have to leave all my friends here. And here, when we were already here, she said, I would give the whole America for my friends. So, but we are happy for her feelings, because it would be hard of many Romanians we see who came here. They are here, they establish themselves here, they consider them, well, less Romanian now, and their children no way to go back. But that just showed to us that God has in his plan for us to go back, and it's much easier to know that Dorothy is with her heart in Romania too. How old is she? Now she's 14. She will be in 24 in May 24th, 14.
Is she a Christian?
in Christian school, yes. Oh, it's a miracle for us. It's a wonderful thing for us. And she's a good mind, good theologian. She has a good theologian mind. She argues very much with teachers. Well, oh, sure. Of course. Starting to that point when you are arguing, starting from that point, that's enough for him. But we don't like to argue, and we learn that. We learn through our experiences that we shouldn't. And we don't, if something we don't like, something is which I don't like to him at Joseph, then we take a time. I ask him, Joseph, I want a time now. Make a time. We need a time to discuss something. We need a time to sit down and discuss over some things. And then we discuss them. And if he doesn't like that, we discuss them like that problem. It's something which doesn't belong to us, but we are the two parts only, and just to see. And after that, when we finish the discuss, we go on our knees always. Because before the Lord, we are naked. And the Lord knows our heart and our mind and our feelings. And we can't lie. We can lie one another, but not to the Lord. And you are not blessed. When I have that kind of... I had something and something I didn't like something right away. I am aware now if I would say a word that will blow up something. Well, then I go. If I have place where I go on my knees, or if not, I just turn away. I pray, Lord, help me right now, just now. Help me. Don't let me to go in something wrong, and help me just to do what it needs to do now. And other time. Because if I let myself to be angry in my inside, I don't show it. It's enough only I feel in my stomach something, and I don't say a word. I am very polite. I calm down my voice. I'm very calm. I don't show it. He doesn't realize that I have some problems. But it's enough if I have it in my inside. I have to wash it down, that out, that. And then I have to go before the Lord with me, with myself, to clean myself, because that's not the right, how I should be. If I am too touchy, it's not good. That's even.
You don't understand.
Oh yeah.
It's not an issue.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. She understands. Not because we convinced her. The Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is living in you, something bothers you from outside, you just turn and go. Something in you tells you, you feel something, not your mind. In your mind, maybe your eyes are attracted by something, but you feel you shouldn't. And you listen to that voice. Also, we had talk with Dorothy. We showed her, because we showed her what does that mean. To obey to the parents. To obey to the authority of parents. Until you are under the authority of parents, you are also under the protection of the parents. When you go out from both, and you are lost. What is here the problem? I see the children are too early considered mature and independent, and that's a wrong thing. They do not listen to their parents, they do not obey. And the Bible tells you, teach your children. If not, the Satan will teach him. I also, what I did with Dorothy when she was little, she was, soon as she could understand the Bible, we had two books in Romania, the Bible for the little eyes and the stories from the Bibles, which a little bit more details. I started to read to Dora first the first book, and I take it over and over again, and I started again and again until she knew that stories by heart. When I saw that Dorothy knows already the book, she tells me the words before I read the text. I said, okay, now we start another book, the second one. But I never finished that book, because I finished and I started again. What made me to start it and read it, I don't know how many times, I don't know, was her comments on the stories about Jesus, about what Jesus did toward, about the peoples. And I saw how she more and more she understood. And also what I saw, that thing kept her mind in peace. All those years when we were in interrogation, in our house were surrounded by secret police. In Ploiești, one man who was the milkman, he told us, "I counted 20, ma'am. How can you sleep overnight?" But Dorothy never felt. We had a friend of ours, an Englishman who was in Romania. He had a very special job for us there. And he told us always, and when he was coming in the house, he said, "Joseph, you can sense outside the turmoil. And when you come in, you feel the peace, the deep peace in this house." And psychological doctor tested Dorothy once without knowing that she what is doing, and tested Dorothy, and she found it, Dorothy, that she is more balanced minded and with all her system than any other child what she tested until then. And I said, that was God's hands. Because we were in in the middle of the storm there, but we were like in Noah's ark in our house. It happened so many things. The secret police put a man who was sick mind to come and sing with the guitar all day. But he was sick. He didn't sing nice songs, and he had a very strong voice too. And he came in our steps room, and he was sitting down there. And one time, and we didn't realize that he was coming. He could come up, but we had another door and I locked that door. And at that time, when he realized that he can't come back, he wanted to break the door. And he tried to break the door. He was a very strong man, and that door wasn't that strong. But we just saw that God's hands was there. God didn't let him to come in, because many times he tried to kill Joseph. He just came with a knife to kill Joseph. Oh, so many, many things that happened in Oradea too. We don't have time to share so many things. And I used to tell in the time when Joseph was in England, I go back to that time, 70s, when Joseph was there, my life really was, I was very busy. The Lord showed me all what I could do, and I started already. I had very soon a very large ministry there. But what I saw, the Lord was so good to me. I didn't have friends or close. They didn't dare, because I was watched there too. Particularly that Bible study, that was very, very interesting thing, that God how much protected, because they knew that I have people in my house. I just want to share what a little thing, how God, how gentle God can be with us when we are human too, and we have little things which makes us so happy. Well, Joseph's birthday, first year when he was away, and I prepared my house and my little apartment. I didn't have house, just an apartment. Everything, like, it was a home. And I was going home from the office, and was a beautiful beautiful house where we lived there in a park. And through the evergreens, I saw a little spot of sky, blue sky, and I said, Lord, if you are with me, it's enough. And I went in my little room and I started to type the letter for Joseph. And I opened the Bible, and the Bible verse which I received for him was when the Father says, bring the ring and the shoes and the clothes, the best thing, and cut the veil. Okay, and prepare the feast for my son. And all of a sudden I realized what that means for us, that God is preparing him there. And I was typing, and I was very, very happy. And all of a sudden I heard a knock at the door. It was a friend of ours, and she said, Elizabeth, I came to say happy birthday for Joseph. And we were talking together, and after a few minutes only, another knock at the door. And a couple was a friends of ours. Elizabeth, we came to say happy birthday for Joseph. And we were talking now, four of us, And I shared with them my letters. And Joseph, we were writing every day a letter. That was like a journal. And after a while, I heard a choir at the door singing Happy Birthday and another song from the church. The pastor with a big group from the church, the students who were coming for the Bible study. And when they entered in the room, like a voice I heard, "See, here I am in everyone." So, this is God. His Father is everything. He can fill up everything, more than beyond our understanding and beyond our expectation, and more than we can imagine. He can give, and He gives us only if we are faithful to Him. Somebody else wants to ask something else?
Did Eleni have a ritual from Joseph, or the government made
They censored every letter, but God was so good. We got every letters. I had all of them, and He had all my letters too. Yes, it was wonderful. We had I had people from England coming and bringing messages from Joseph. I was always ahead with what I got already from Joseph through letters. I knew already things from him. So some of my colleagues in the office used to say, "Your husband is much, much closer to him than our husbands, which are here with us." Yes, that is God who can fill that and that place and give you the sense. One Sunday I was so happy that I was running on the street and jumping, and I said, "Lord, if somebody sees me now, they would say that I'm crazy, but I'm not. I'm just happy. And why?" And all of a sudden I realized, yes, I know why, because He is happy and I am one with Him. And the Lord told me then, I understood that was a message for Him, for me, that He doesn't make Joseph only happy, He makes me too. Well, what is wonderful, you here in America, what I could tell you, would like to close with this. I learned here also something which I wouldn't learn in Romania. Was time when God didn't give me fellowship or people to whom with I can be or to have a discussion or friendship or fellowship. I was very lonely. But I realized that I said, "Lord, if you want me to have only you, my friend, and rely only on you, to talk only with you for everything, I am happy for that." And I accepted. I was going to the church. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's not a judging. I was in the church. I chose to go in a church, in an American church, in Wheaton, First Baptist Church. I knew a few people in the church. But I remained a foreigner, strange people, and maybe they don't dare to be too close. Everybody has their problems. When I went and I came back to the church, I had that time when, well, I miss people. But there was time when I went on my knees and I said, Lord, I miss people. What can I do? If I go to the church and I don't get what I want, should I stay home? No. And then a thought came in my mind. There is a place where my children are going to worship. And your place is there too. You belong there, among my people. And I said, Lord, I am happy with you, and I am happy in the church too. And starting from then, I looked toward the church over the week with such a joy, and I said, oh, it's hard for me to wait now. I wait that Sunday to come, because I want to be in the church, to go there and go in, sing with them, pray with them, worship, and just to give to the Lord my thanksgiving and my praise. That was a time, a special time for me too. And I said, well, I learned that here. I wouldn't have that kind of time in Romania, because there I had my people. My people, I don't mean that my people, my native people, I understand, who speaks my language, to whom I can relate immediately. But God blessed me here after that, after I accepted that just to be in the church, go there. God gave me, even there, a ministry too. So, when you always accept something, you feel that you give up to something. You give up because maybe you want it in a way, not in a way how God wanted you to have that. And God has it in another way, in a different way. And always He has something to teach you. Many, many lessons we had here. And I am so thankful to the Lord. Even before we came here, I felt that I went through a very harsh lesson, because the Lord wanted me to teach something which I wasn't aware that is in my heart. There was maybe very deep somewhere. Well, Lord, I have only that much. I wanted that thing. It's a very legitimate wish, desire. It's just because I am who I am, and I have to have that much. No, the Lord says, no, nothing is yours. And that's true. Nothing is mine, only what He gives me. If you don't have any question anymore, then Barbara, do you want to come and lead us in prayer, please?
All the things that you have taught her through these years, that she has been so open and so willing to share with us. Now teach us through her and help us to apply these things to the situations in which you have us. Go with us now for the rest of the day. granted for a good time of fellowship and learning together. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.